I'm Cindy.
And I'm Jen. So today we are on part two of our psychic medium episode.
That is right. We're so excited for you to hear it.
Yeah, she was really great. And so we're going to do a reading with her. Yeah, she's going to do a 30-minute reading with me and then a separate 30-minute reading with you. So after that, we'll report back to you as well. But we want to hear if any of you guys contacted her or if you did a reading, what you think.
And we'll have her contact information at the end of the episode.
Yeah, she gave how you can contact her.
You can even email her, right? And text her, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so. And she does these lives on her Facebook, too, where she said she does some free readings. So that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
I feel like we said wow a lot while we were talking to her. But that's what we were thinking, though. Like, it's just so interesting because I don't know, maybe other people do. But we don't have a lot of time where we just talk to a psychic or a medium.
No.
And we kind of got all in one with her. So it was really cool to just hear her story and hear what her perspective is on things. So we hope you like it.
She was so gracious with her time. It was really interesting.
Yeah, it was a really long episode. So we cut it up, but we loved every part of it. So before we get to Holly, let's talk about our snack of the week.
All right, I'm really excited about this one.
So it's one of your favorite snacks.
It is. I love it so much.
The Little Debbie Christmas tree snack cakes, right?
And Christmas tree snack cakes. And they are so good.
Yeah.
And they only have them around Christmas, and they're super fresh because they only have them around Christmas. And
as fresh as a Little Debbie snack cake could be, they are the freshest. This is not an ad, but if you would like to sponsor
If you would like to send us some Little Debbies, we'll take them. Just let me know. DM us for our address.
Like another one that we never had as kids, and I just always thought, like, because I'm not a huge fan of the Little Debbie in general.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like other Little Debbies?
You don't like Debbies?
No.
Just kidding.
If you're a listener named Debbie, tune out.
Change the station.
Next. Just kidding, Debbies. We love you. But do you like other Little Debbie snacks?
I do. I like the Nutter Butters and the oatmeal pies. Mm. Yeah.
I just don't love them all. But this one I had to try because you were so obsessed with it.
So good.
It is actually pretty good. I do like it. So today an ad came up for a recipe and it was a Little Debbie snack cake dip.
What?
And you wouldn't think of like a sweet dip. I'm more of like if I want cheese dip or, you know, like I want savory dip. I don't really want the sweet dip. But so it looked like, and I didn't even read the whole recipe because I was like, that's not really for me, right? But it was like you grind up the Little Debbie snack cakes, I think even in a blender, and you add some other sweet things, and it's kind of like a creamy, maybe like an icing type dip. I don't know what you would put it on. Like
cookies, I guess, right?
Could
maybe
you imagine?
Ginger snaps or something?
I don't know about a ginger snap, but
I guess it would be like icing on a cookie, basically.
I know.
Like if you had sugar cookies and then you dipped it in. I mean, I don't know. I almost
that is
think
too sweet.
It would be a little too much. I mean, the Little Debbie snacks themselves are almost a little too much.
They are.
They're super.
I don't even. Yeah,
sweet.
We split one. I didn't even want the whole thing. Yeah. But I'm not even a super sweet person. Like,
right.
In general.
Well,
we know
you're not a super.
Right. Like I'm kind of an asshole. And then also, no. Just kidding.
And then you want me to eat a Christmas tree? What?
I know. Like, come on now. Like, I hate Christmas, Grinch. But I would rather, I'd take chips any day over that. So it's not, I'm not really the right market
for that
stuff. But a friend of mine, she wanted to try Little Debbie Christmas tree snack cake, kind of cut them up and then dip it in melted chocolate. And she said it was excellent.
Really?
So, and so I'm thinking sprinkle some salt on top, like a salted kind of, because then you would get a little salt on there instead of just straight up sweet.
Yeah, that might be good. Like maybe sprinkle some caramel on it, then salted caramel.
That's a lot. That's a lot extra.
I think we're good. Yeah, that is a little extra.
Yeah,
I mean, the Christmas tree cake in itself
is
extra.
It's fine by itself. So you really don't need to go that extra mile. But if you want to, try it.
Why not? Yeah.
But if you change it up any, let us know. We've got to see what your
thing is.
But then, so that got me kind of thinking, like, what other kind of just weird, completely unhealthy, what kind of recipes could I get for the holidays? Like, let's change it up. Since it's 2020, we don't get to do everything we normally do for holidays. Don't get to see all of our friends and family.
Right.
Don't get to do all the traveling I like to do. Let's just make some junk, just complete junk, and let's just end on just the worst note possible.
Wait, can you really call it making something if you're literally unpackaging a Little Debbie snack and putting it in a blender?
Okay.
That is actually making something. I mean, I'm just asking.
For one who doesn't cook, how do you think any how do you think any recipes are done? You put stuff together.
I know, like
you unpackage a lot of things. Like, is cheese dip actually any, like, are you making it because you're cutting up Velveeta, which is pre-processed cheese?
I mean, it's already a cake on its own, though.
Right, but you're deconstructing the cake.
Right.
And making a dip.
Okay. So all that's right. A difference. I'm for it. I mean, I'm for trying it, at
least. So what other kind of?
Maybe you could dip pretzels in it.
Yeah, like a salty
then you would have a salty
street.
Kind of pretzel.
I can buy that.
I don't know that Dots pretzels would be. Maybe.
Oh, that'd be gross. Remember we tried the candy bar and it wasn't.
Yeah, the candy bar wasn't good, but I would like to dip some in chocolate for the holidays.
Oh, the pretzels?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? We have plenty.
I think that would be good.
Go for it, man.
I mean, since they now sponsor us.
Do that,
us
right?
All kinds.
Why haven't we? We might have to, we might not like you anymore, Dots, because we haven't gotten free. Just kidding.
No.
But
long
maybe you
the
should
dots.
You should try that. That could be your little recipe, but would you be making anything? Because they're already pretzels.
I'm opening the pretzel package and dipping it in the chocolate.
That's some effort right there, man.
And then I could put some sprinkles on the top too.
Yeah, just why not? Go
yeah.
all out.
Go all out.
So what else? Like, so that just really got me thinking, like, what other recipes do I like? Like, what other kind of holiday things? I mean, we have cookies.
Oh,
and then you
cookies.
Have, like, the meal, and then you have the cookies. And we'll wait and talk about the cookie exchange when it gets closer, I think.
Cocoons.
We need to have somebody who is in this cookie exchange.
We should have them all. That'd be fun.
That would be really fun. So one thing I think about is the Chex Mix that your aunt ships
my
out.
My Aunt Sheila, yes.
Yeah, and then...
I've been doing that my whole life, I think.
Like, really?
Yeah, and we're not going to say how old I am, but I mean...
So 73 years.
Yeah, at least 73 years. But she has been shipping that to us, and she ships it to us every year without fail. And I hope that this year there's no failure.
There, that like
it's 2020,
listen,
I would be like, oh my God.
If you're listening, Aunt Sheila, do not ruin our lives. We count
is,
on this.
You know, you say Chex Mix, and I don't think people would really understand how good it is. It is really good.
Well, and I wonder though, this might be a family tradition that other families have because some random ex-coworker, it's one of those things when you see something pump up, you're like, oh, I didn't realize we were still friends.
Yeah.
But they posted a Chex Mix recipe that their family has been doing for, I think they said 20 something odd years.
Wow.
And it was, so I was looking through it and it was like kind of very similar, but just like not a normal Chex Mix. There's some additions like she has.
Yeah.
So then I wonder if a lot of families have the Chex Mix or if it's like a certain group that got it and passed it on through generations. But it makes Christmas because it's so good. So next week we're going to have a guest, Julia, and she's going to talk about Christmas movies with us and we'll talk some traditions with her. So that'll be fun. So for our I Dissent this week.
Okay.
White Christmas lights are better than multicolored Christmas lights. So we're talking on your Christmas tree, maybe just in general decorations. Do you prefer the white or the multicolored?
I think this has been in seasons of my life. Like, there have been different types of lights that I liked at different types and different points in my life. Our current Christmas tree has the white lights, but I put colored lights outside, multicolored lights outside.
So kind of mix it up.
So kind of mixing it up. And I really like the colored lights outside. You know, I think blue is my favorite color Christmas light, but I like the multicolored ones. In this season of my life, I'm immensely enjoying the multicolored ones.
Yeah, and I feel the same. Like, growing up, I think we always had multicolored lights.
Mm-hmm, so do we.
And then I remember later on, and we mostly did a real tree. That could be another one. Maybe next week will be, do you prefer a fake Christmas tree or a real Christmas tree? But we mostly, like, we would go pick our own tree and stuff like that at, like, an actual, like, Christmas movie Christmas tree farm we would go to and pick them. Until later on in life, then we would go to, like, a little parking lot that they would sell them.
Yeah.
But, so then later, whenever the newer, cooler lights came out, they had the ones that would like switch or like blink on and off. You could change. So then we changed them. But now people have like, it can either be colored, like multicolored lights, or it can be white, or you can flash back and forth.
That's what Casey has. Yeah.
See? So for the people who debate.
Mm-hmm. Which is really nice. We always got a Christmas tree too that was real out. We got it out in our pasture. So we always did that too. It wasn't as pretty as probably the Christmas tree farm, but I love the real tree too.
Yeah, I do too. But I have a fake. It's just so much easier. And then normally we're traveling for a couple weeks at the holidays, so you can't really leave a live Christmas tree. But plus it's so much easier than like lighting it, like wrapping. Remember the old days? I'm sure now the lights are better and they don't tangle as much. I don't know. But I just remember like how it was just a chore.
Yeah, having a pre-lit one is awesome.
So much easier. Literally plug it in and you're good. I hate the fluffing of it though.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the way that feels. It's just so much work. Like I like to just plop it in and be done.
But
I love the way it looks after it's done. So
it does look. So we have the 2020 thing of the week.
Yeah. So my friend Ken, who we actually had on the podcast, one of our first guests, actually, I think he's the doctor, the Ken Starnes, MD, which is just so weird, having known somebody who was definitely not doctor-y back in the day, but just one of the smartest people and one of the wittiest people. So he had a tweet this week that went viral.
Yeah.
And I always knew that he would go viral because he's so funny, but I thought it would be for something like hilarious, but this was actually kind of a sad picture.
Yeah. It was actually in a storage room for iPads with on stands for people at end of life so they can watch the iPad with their family members facing
yeah
them,
like right? Specifically COVID, since they can't have right. anyone in the room. But then I think we had like a friend who had surgery and she had to communicate this way because no one could be with her.
Oh yeah, well I guess, and you know what, that is right. Like I guess it would be for anyone that's in the hospital now because no one can go in, right?
Yeah, so depending on where you are, I know here in Florida people can go in, but then if you have COVID you can't have any visitors. So but this specific picture was for COVID patients who are end of life who wanted to say goodbye to their families. Mm-hmm. So that picture went viral.
Yeah. I mean, it was even retweeted by Chris Cuomo. And I think I saw it several times in my news feed. I had no idea that it was from Ken. I just thought it was a very touching picture that it, you know, here we are at this point. But yeah, it's from Ken. He went viral.
Crazy. But yeah. He had like Zach Braff shared it and some celebrities and Olivia Pope from Scandal, the real Olivia Pope. So it's just crazy. I really wanted him to get on the news, like get on Anderson Cooper or something, you know.
Well, you think he reminds you of Anderson Cooper, right?
Yeah, he looks just like him. Ken was actually on Jeopardy back in the day. And so I hoped that he would one day get on Anderson, but I would rather wait until he has like a really funny tweet that goes viral and then we can get on there and talk about that.
Yeah. We're still waiting for that and we'll be around when that happens too.
Yeah, exactly. We may need to have him come back on here. He can, now that he's famous and he can talk to us about his experience.
Yeah, There we go.
So crazy.
Twitter famous.
All right. So let's get with Holly, see what she has to say. And let us know again if you book a reading with her, how it goes, what you think of it. If you have any questions, let us know. We can pass them on. And we'll follow up with you guys in a future episode once we have our reading. And don't forget, this is part two. So if you haven't heard last week's episode with Holly, go back and listen to that first, because we'll go right into the middle of the conversation from last week.
Yep.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Patio Chats. We have our interactive post there. We ask questions, take your suggestions for future guests, and you can follow Holly there as well.
Yep. And without further ado, here's Holly.
This happened not that long ago too. I had a guy come for a reading and his best friend channeled through, and his best friend was a jokester and always smacked his wife's bum.
Oh my gosh.
Not thinking, I tell this guy, smack for, and he's like, okay, I'll do that. Is there anything else you need to do? And I'm like, do you understand what we could be causing here? Your wife may not appreciate you smacking the other woman's bum.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, I never thought of that, but I'd do anything for my buddy. And I'm like, let's just not do that.
Bitch. Yeah, let's have just some boundaries, maybe. Yeah,
maybe that's not. So maybe not a funny. Good idea.
Yeah. So what, just personally, is it easier for you to do kind of the psychic thing, or is it the medium, or does it just all come naturally, or do you have a preference on what you like better?
No, because I always say to people, and I'm kind of blessed this way with my ability to, the other side knows what the person who's with me needs. Hands down. The other side knows. It never fails me. So sometimes I'm with somebody and I'll start to channel the grandmother, for example. And all of a sudden the grandmother will say, don't spend a lot of time on this. She actually wasn't interested in seeing me today. She wants to know about blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And I'll be like, okay, you have questions. Your grandmother told me I shouldn't spend a whole lot of time on this because you're actually more interested in this. And they'll be like, their eyes will get big and they'll be like, well, thanks, grandma.
Wow. We had a listener question from Michelle, and she asked sort of something towards that, and also a little bit about intuition. So like if we're about to cross the street, let's just say, and then we hear a little voice that says, don't do it, so we don't do it. Could that be some of our relatives or friends that have passed giving us little whispers in our ear? Do they work like that?
Yes. It can be either a departed loved one that's trying to protect you or look out for you, or it could be your own intuition, your own guide.
Yeah.
Right? So we all have a guide. So your own guide could be trying to prevent something from happening. Or that could be a departed loved one too.
That's so interesting. So since we do, so definitely listen. So then how do we tap into that intuition? So like if you, because I've always kind of felt like I have kind of that little bit heightened intuition, just a little. Is there a way that people that like me could tap into that to really use that? Or is it just something like kind of a natural gift that you either have it or you don't?
No, everybody has it to some degree. So you can, it's like a muscle. Think of it as a muscle that if you work that muscle will strengthen. Okay. So this is no different. It's also a muscle. Mm-hmm. So if you use it and strengthen it, you can increase its abilities. A good way to do that is some basic meditation. Okay. And I can't meditate, ladies. I'm not going to lie to you. I can't shut my brain off long enough to meditate. And because mine has always been so upfront and there, I haven't had to do anything to increase. Yeah. But doing, even if it's just a 10-minute little meditation, at a time where you can block everything else out that's going on, you can also very gently, literally be rubbing your third eye. Because there is truth to that third eye, right? So you can literally just be rubbing that to help it to open up and, wow, and to expand. Years ago, and there was a book, and I can't remember what it was called. It was actually my mom's book because my mom read tea leaves. She was phenomenal.
Wow.
And I lent it to somebody, forgot who I lent it to, and never got it back.
Oh, no.
And it was kind of about psychic phenomena and development of those skills. And there was an exercise in that book that I still will recommend to people. As a meditation, you can basically visualize yourself going to a high-rise apartment building. You go in and you imagine, while you're visualizing everything, you imagine yourself entering the foyer, imagining yourself getting into the elevator, imagine yourself pushing, say, the first floor. Then when you go to the first floor and the door is open, visualize a tropical island and let your imagination tell you all the things you would see on a tropical island. Well, then you have it. So the second floor is the Arctic, where it's all snow and igloos or whatever, right? But the reason you're going through this exercise is to also get your senses knowing how to react and respond to those settings, because it'll help you then expand the intuitive things are given to you or recognize what they're trying to show you. So it's kind of like you're training your brain for symbols. Wow. Because, for example, I'm given symbols by all the spirits that step forward. I speak a language most people don't speak, or I understand a language that they speak that most people don't understand. Mm. So when a spirit steps forward to me and they give me the symbol for laying down and holding of the hands, when they do that, that is my symbol that A, they were in bed either medically or sick prior to their passing, but that someone was with them holding their hand when they departed, okay? When somebody passes away just from a massive heart attack, nothing, no, just out of the blue, the spirit steps forward to me and snaps their fingers. They do that. Wow. So what they're doing is telling me, gone, here and gone. That's their way to let me know this was unexpected, this was sudden. Then when they step forward and they take responsibility for their passing, that is how they let me know they chose to take their own life, right? So basically, I have learned to understand the symbols that they provide me. So an exercise like that is just helping you to train your brain. And as time goes on, you'll just gradually be given a little more, a little more. But if you don't trust what they're giving you and you don't actually do what you're being given, they don't give you more, right? It's kind of like a relationship. If you're not going to trust me, how are we going to build that trust relationship? Why am I going to give you more responsibility if I can't trust you to do what you need to with the bit that I do give you? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
The other side is no different. So if you get a very strong sign that says, don't turn right, and you turn right anyways, well, you didn't listen to what they just told you. Why are they going to tell you not to turn left now, if it makes sense to explain it that way?
That makes complete sense. Yeah. Because we also kind of paid attention a little bit to some different manifestation techniques lately. And it kind of sounds like it's a little bit of that same sort of thing where you're supposed to visualize it. So completely visualize it before you have it. But you also have to believe it. So you can't just ask and then ignore it. So it sounds like it's all sort of tied in together where they'll continue to give to you, but you have to receive it, you also have to visualize it, and then you have to follow through with it. You can't just ask and ignore it. So is that kind of what you've understood? It's all kind of related?
It is, and it's a trust relationship you're building. And with manifestation, by the way, it works. Well, in the U.S., two people that had gotten declined letters from very top-notch schools, Harvard and Cornell. And I told them, I said, you are going to 100% get into both of these schools, but I need you to do the following things. And I told them how I needed them to behave. I told them how everything to a T, I told them how they needed to behave. And I told them they would then get a letter saying they'd been placed on a wait list. And then they would get a letter saying they got taken off the wait list. Both kids said to me, not a chance in hell will that ever happen. Nobody gets into Harvard or Cornell off a wait list. I said, listen to me. Watch The Secret. Listen to Dr. Dane here. Do all these following things. And if you do, I'm telling you. I have text messages with photos in my phone that were sent to me by their parents on the first day of school at both Harvard and Cornell.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It seriously is.
I also have beautiful recommendation letters that have been written by those families for my portfolio sharing those examples.
I can't imagine. I mean, just in our conversation, the number of lives that you've touched, mm-hmm. just that we know about now.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's incredible.
And we don't even know the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
I mean, yeah. So that's amazing.
I can't even imagine.
So I grew up in a really small town, and religion was very prevalent there. And so how does this, what you're able to do, kind of work with religion? Does it, you know, that sort of thing?
It does. I do, you know, and I'm very respectful. I was actually raised in one of the most religious families you would ever meet. I'm a Catholic. I am going to be very upfront and honest. I'm not a practicing Catholic at this time in my life. I'm a big believer, but I mean, I crossed over and was there when I drowned when I was three, right? So I know what the other side is all about. Yeah. However, I will say this. I was born and baptized High Anglican. I converted to Catholicism later on in life. So I'm a Christian through and through and was a very practicing Christian for many years. And so sometimes religion gets in the way for some people because they have these fears and thought processes on it that are misunderstood. And that's because of the way certain things are phrased in the Bible and people's interpretation of that. So I actually will get into a discussion with them and say, yes, you. If this was witchcraft, if I practice black magic, I will not touch certain modalities. I have a very strong belief system that when you start playing with certain tools or modalities, it's kind of like devil's tools. I'm very careful that way, I'll be honest. That's just my personal belief system. But if you actually read the Bible front to back, you would remember that Jesus spoke of the prophets. The prophets had the gift of sight. The prophets had what I have. I'm not a prophet. I am not comparing myself to a prophet. I'm simply stating that the abilities and the gifts are one and the same. It's just that in the Bible, they were called prophets. They were prophesizing. Right. Jesus used them, right? Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it make sense that God, I'm just going to say God for the sake of keeping it simple, would also continue using or having prophets throughout the world, throughout generations and lifetimes, to assist people and give them the same thing Jesus had access to. And I want to be careful because I don't want to get off in a big discussion about religion. That's one of the taboos you shouldn't talk a lot about.
Yeah.
Politics. And I want to also clarify, this is my opinion. Right. This is my interpretation mm-hmm. that I'm sharing. This is not something written in a textbook, simply my opinion.
Yeah.
So I basically feel that people like myself have a higher level and stronger level of these abilities to basically work in the same capacity in which it was done thousands of years ago to help give people hope, yeah. to help people in the worst times of their life. Like, and that's why I think these abilities are stronger for some than others.
Yeah.
It's as we are here to almost act in the same type of capacity as what the prophets acted as.
That makes sense.
But if people are religious but don't necessarily have the full understanding of certain biblical terms and things, it can be misinterpreted greatly, right? And that's really where the problem does lie. And I have many, many people of all different faiths who come to me and use me regularly. I even have some men in cloth who come to me.
Wow.
I would never divulge or disclose their life or their identities.
Right.
But they had an experience inadvertently. For example, somebody they knew or trusted closely came and had a session with me, recorded that session. It involved them somehow. They in turn played that session for them, where I had shared details that nobody could have ever possibly known. Wow. Unless they had a connection to something bigger than we understand. And in turn, they decided they would like to come themselves.
Wow.
And receive their own messages. So gradually, I think that will continue to evolve and change.
Yeah.
As people's understanding broadens, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be a Christian till the day I die. My mother read tea leaves, and there was nobody more accurate than her. And she read her Bible every single night before she went to sleep.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Every single night before she went. I embrace every faith. I love it. And I myself prefer to associate with people who have some sort of spiritual belief, whatever that may be. I did experience the other side. I did actually drown at 3. I did cross over. I was sent back, sadly and unfortunately. And I will say that there's going to be a lot of people in for rude awakenings. A lot of people are going to be in for rude awakenings. I'm going to tell you that.
Bypass?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Is there anything you can tell us about the other side? Because the only thing we're ever told is there's heaven and hell and that's it, right? And so we don't really know. We always hear it's a bright light and then people have their own stories, but it's just so unknown.
So again, when I talk about my experience, I'll clarify again that this has been my experience and my memories of that experience. So number one, we're in hell. This is hell. We're in hell. We're living in hell. There's no other hell than this. Period. End of story.
Wow.
Again, this is all my own opinions and teachings based on my actual experience. So there is something to the bright light. It's not quite what some have maybe read or heard described, because there's no long tunnel. It's much closer than we realize or think. This bright light, though, is intensely warm. So as bright as it is, it's also as warm as it is bright, if that makes sense. And here's the best way for me to describe the light to you. Have you ever gone to a beach and you're laying on the beach, your eyes are closed and you're getting some sun, and you know how bright that light is behind your eye? But you're also feeling the intensity of that heat on your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the light is like.
Wow.
That's the closest thing that I can describe as to that light, how it is, what it feels like.
Wow.
And literally the second you take your last breath, and drowning is the way to go.
Really? Drowning,
hands down, is the way to go. If I could sign up and God could choose, I would choose to drown.
Wow.
In a few seconds. Drowning is the way to go. It was a fantastic experience.
Oh my God.
A fantastic experience. So literally from the second you take your very last breath, the freedom that you feel. I was 3 when this happened. At 3 years old, you should not have really any worries. You shouldn't feel any pressures. The weight of the world's not on your shoulders. You're just 3 years old.
Yeah.
You would be shocked at how heavy this physical body is when you have to re-enter it. So when I left my body to feel the liberating and how freeing and light and free I felt to being sent back and having to come back into my physical body, I believe it's why I'm chronically ill.
Wow.
I believe I became chronically ill because I was freed and liberated of this physical weight, but then had to come back into it and to feel it. It's so much heavier than we realize, you guys.
Wow.
It's just like the second you cross over, the weight of everything's gone instantly. And the level of pure love you feel is just like crazy. Now, I did not meet God. I'm not saying God isn't there, and I'm not saying that it isn't God that is as we know him. Right. I'm letting you know I wasn't there maybe long enough to meet him. There is almost like a gate. There is almost like a gate because as soon as you get, imagine a really nice arbor. You know those arbors?
Mm-hmm.
When you walk through something like that to cross into it.
Wow.
So when you cross over from the physical to that side, you're literally at an arbor entry or a nice, beautiful gate entry, and you cross through. Funny thing is, the dog came to meet me before my dad.
So our dogs are there.
Our dogs are there.
Wow. That's awesome.
Our dogs meet us. Just like our dogs would greet us at the door and be the first to greet us, our dogs greet us. Our dogs greet us.
That's cool.
And they're beautiful. Like, you should see their coats. If you think they're nice here, you should see them there. That's like, awesome. It's just how they look is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
It's really, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just so fascinating. I can't imagine crossing over and then coming back.
So then your dad was there. You saw your dad.
I saw my dad.
Mom was still alive at that point. Right. Yeah.
I only saw my dog and my dad.
Wow.
I saw nobody else. But I was only three then.
Yeah.
My brother's girlfriend hadn't died yet.
Yeah.
My mom hadn't died yet, right?
Yeah.
And keep in mind, I didn't get to stay long.
Yeah.
I was literally, and I always say this to be very clear to people, I was literally there long enough to get a really good sense of what it was, how things kind of operated, but then I was sent back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you didn't see other people like outside of your family or anything. It was just those two.
Yeah. They were the only two, but it's the feeling, like you can't believe the feeling. The feeling is like nothing you've ever experienced in your life. There's nothing in the physical world that I have ever experienced that I can compare it to.
Wow.
Nothing.
That's amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So we did have another listener question. Julia, she wanted to know, after someone passes, is there a set time she should wait before trying to contact them through someone like yourself?
Nope. You don't have to wait even 5 minutes.
Wow.
You don't have to wait.
That's what she mentioned, was her fear was that she would try to do it too quickly or contact the wrong medium and then not get, you know, and then have that be even harder to deal with that loss. So
that could be a fear, because there are a lot, and I've seen it, and I prefer to never disparage anyone. Here's what I will say. I've never had that issue, not even once, never. But I have heard many, many, many sad stories for people that are sitting with me who are bawling their eyes out because their loved one immediately showed up. And I was like the fourth one they'd seen and the first one that contacted them.
Oh, wow.
That happens a lot. And I always feel horrible. I found myself not charging somebody or giving them their money back because I feel bad that three other ones charged them and gouged the money and gave them nothing. I end up giving them the free session because so you need to do your research before booking appointments with a medium or a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
People need to thoroughly read reviews. They need to check up and find out what are they all about, or ask others that have seen them, because they're popping up everywhere out of the woodwork these days. And I mean, a lot of them. There's one that's not that far from me that put a shingle out and started doing it. And she asked for pictures ahead of time. So she wants to see pictures of your loved ones and wants all this information beforehand. When you come to me, I don't want you to bring me anything identifying, period. It's my job to tell you who's showing up. It's not your, if I'm asking you for pictures, well, now you've just told me you even have departed loved ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's my job to tell you if you do or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you're enlisting a professional for these services, if they're asking you for photos, don't enlist them. Period, end of story. Nice. Do you know at what point I want to see a picture? At the very end, when I'm done, after I've described their loved one to a T, after I've told them how they look, how they smell, all of that information.
Wow.
And after their reading ends, I will then say, if you'd like to show me a picture now, you can.
Nice.
Period.
That's so cool. I mean, I just feel like we trust you just through this conversation. So I would suggest to any of our listeners, they need to contact you.
Definitely.
And or at least do their research and see if they agree. But I can't imagine just what a reading would be like with you, because I feel like we've gotten so much just from our conversation, mm-hmm. you know? So I definitely would suggest that.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And it is good to know if you're making this kind of a recommendation that you're making it to somebody who actually is authentic.
Yeah.
Right? That, because there is nothing, and it makes my job a lot harder and worse when people have seen charlatans or people that claim to have abilities that don't. I've had people come to me, I'll use an example. 3 years ago, I had a young woman come to me. Her husband hung himself.
Oh my God.
31 years old. Devastating. The connection was so incredible with me. We actually have voice. We caught him during the audio. He spoke during the audio. Whoa. Of the second we have his voice.
Oh my God.
Because they were mind blown. She went to another well-known medium within an hour range of me. That person told her to go home and burn all of his possessions and burn everything he owned, and to tell his mother to burn anything attached to him, because some possessed demon got inside him and made him hate.
Oh, that's terrible. Gosh. That's heartbreaking.
True story.
Oh,
and they're taking advantage of people at their most vulnerable time.
She was so beside herself and devastated. She ended up putting another note on Facebook saying, if anybody knows another medium or medium out there, please let me know. Because at that point, she didn't know what to think. And she was going to burn everything he owned.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
And charged her $200 for that experience.
Oh my gosh. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just really have one more listener question. And this was a common listener question, but did you predict the coronavirus? And if so, can you predict when it's going to be done? Are the vaccines going to work? And where are we going?
So I'm not going to sit here and claim that I came right out and said the coronavirus is coming. This is what's going to hit.
Right.
Because that would be a little misleading, to say the least. I did, however, though, to several regular clients, out of nowhere one day, write very long, I call them downloads. When people become regulars of mine, I'll randomly get messages and just send it to them.
Wow.
Out of the blue. So a regular client of mine who has a fairly high level, has a very high level position in a large company, I randomly, on September 17th, wrote this download, and I described something huge that was coming, that it was going to be in all the medias globally, that all these following things were going to happen, and crazy, crazy stuff. Sent it to him. He was so taken aback by what I said. He met with chief legal of the company.
Oh, my gosh.
Shared my information with chief legal. And now I've gone back and reviewed that. I think everything I downloaded and sent was about what's happening.
Wow.
It all matches off. Wow. So having said that, 3 years start to finish is what everybody can be expecting this to last for. Now, let me qualify and say this. It's not going to be 3 full years of it being exactly like what we've been, but the tail end of it will be the end of 3 years. So it is going to go on for a while yet. And there may be a third wave. Oh, the second wave is coming, and it's going to be significant. I feel there'll be a third wave.
Tell our listeners where they can find you. Where can they book an appointment with you, and where can they find you?
So I can be found on Facebook under Beyond Belief Psychic Medium. I can be reached through email at Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, _ Mick George, MCGEORGE, @yahoo.ca. I can also be reached by phone at 519-639-5909. And on Facebook, you can reach out through Beyond Belief or Holly McGeorge. And every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., I usually do what's called Spirit Live. And I'll get on there and do free readings, read people in the audience. Not always just readings. Sometimes we talk about all sorts of different subjects.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You're amazing. And I know we'll be in contact again. You're amazing.
Thank you so much for your time. We know you're busy and we appreciate you taking time for us.
And thank you so much for asking me to be a part of this. And reach out and I'll get you set up for your virtual session.
Thanks, you so Holly. Much.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.